Today's podcast is brought to you by Behind the Tech with Kevin Scott. You can find links where actually you can just find it on all your major podcast platforms, or you can go to threat.com and there'll be a little icon front page. Click that, you listen, you absorb.
Yeah, I think people know how to get a podcast.
It is Friday, friends. It is.
It is.
Thank God. Goodness, it is Friday. Going to be 77 freedom units. That's like 25, 26 communist units, somewhere around there. Should be a good day.
Yeah. Sure.
Anyways, Apple said the quiet part out loud in some emails, and now it's part of a court little thing here versus Android. Effectively said, actually, they didn't effectively, they literally said that bringing iMessage to Android would hurt their lock-in experience. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that's not going to go over well.
So, yeah, there's a perception problem here, right? First of all, anyone who knows anything about anything when it comes to technology knows that this happens, right? So the people listening to this podcast, reads the sites, et cetera, we're all on board with this. We know.
Are you telling me, Paul, that Google didn't bring Google Maps to Windows Phone because of...
Actually, I honestly, if you want to take that side road...
No.
I will say there's probably two parts to it. One is the thing you're suggesting, which is that Google fears Microsoft or feared Microsoft, even though whatever. I think it's just part of the DNA. It has to do with the time the company was founded and who was the market partner. They just have a deep-seated fear of Microsoft. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. But honestly, you could make a compelling case in that case that Windows Phone never had any serious market share anyway, so why bother? Go to the engineering resources. I mean, it's already hard enough to develop mobile apps for two different major platforms like they're doing, although it's getting easier now with tools like Flutter and so forth. But, you know, back in the day when they first started doing that, when they first started doing it, they didn't even have Android, so whatever. But, yeah. Anyway, but yes, look, it's not illegal for a company to act in its own best interest, right? It's not. The problems come into play with the antitrust when you have a monopoly. And then in Apple's case, unfortunately for Apple, I guess, this hubris always has to be part of the story. Apple is a company that heavily markets itself for doing things for its customers. Always, we care about your privacy. We care about you. You're what's important. And literally what Apple has, its executives have said, it's everybody. It's like Tim Cook, Phil Schiller, Steve Jobs, Craig Federighi, Eddie Q, I'm probably missing some, you know, have all said some variation of what's important to Apple is more important than what's important to customers. And in this case, bringing iMessage to Android wouldn't just make it easier for people to switch from iPhone to Android, but, and this is the damning part, it would enable families to have mixed environments. Because you could kind of imagine parents saying, I'm going to throw $1,000 down on myself because I'm me and I love me and I make the money and who cares? But my kids are going to get a cheap Android phone because, you know, there's no way I'm spending that much money on them. And by erasing some of the benefits that could come from cross-platform compatibility, Apple has made that harder for people to do. So I don't know. You know, again, this kind of crosses the line between like legal stuff where, you know, we can debate antitrust and monopolies and all that, and then kind of ethical and moral issues, which I have nothing to do with the court, you know, frankly. But I think the point of this, like the reason I brought up the tech enthusiast bit, because I wrote this in my article too, is, you know, the people listening to this they're on board. Like, you've chosen Apple devices, knowing full well that this is the strategy, and you're like, I just, you know, the benefits outweigh the cons, whatever. And that's a perfectly valid decision to make. I mean, I use iPads. I don't use iPhones typically, although I have. But I use iPads. I use an iPad every day. And, you know, you go into this with sort of a, hopefully, an educated viewpoint about the reality of the situation. But I think the courts, if there are juries involved later or just judges, are not technical people. And I'm sure these people are more susceptible to Apple's consumer-focused marketing efforts, you know? So I think this might be a surprise to some people. Like, oh my God, these guys are rather ruthless. They seem so cute on stage.
Yeah. They make such good ads. Like,
they really do.
People dancing, they're happy. Oh, they're
the best.
Spending thousands of dollars on credit cards in their store.
I so this is just coincidental, but I recently bought an iPad Air to replace my aging iPad. And honestly, I mean, the experience is not really all that different. If my iPad's falling apart, so physically it's falling apart, but also like the performance and reliability has been terrible. And I keep resetting it and it keeps coming, you know, it just keeps coming up lame. So anyway, when I bought it, I bought a, I was going to say a type cover, but whatever they call this, the smart cover thing. And, when it arrived, the smart cover I had ordered, because I want the kind that just goes over the top. I don't want the thing that encloses all of it. I don't want like a keyboard cover. Mm-hmm. I just want the, you know, the magnetic cover, the screen thing. Well, guess what, Brad? You may know this. I didn't know this. They don't make one of those for iPad Air. The thing I ordered was for the normal iPad. It didn't fit. So yesterday, my wife and I were going to go out to dinner, and we were going over to Whitehall, which is an area 20 minutes away that has malls and stuff and retail restaurants, whatever. There's an Apple store over there. And I'm like, oh, good timing. I got to exchange this thing. So you go in there, they do, you know, they measure your temperature. It's all masks and, you know, very nicely done. It's Apple, right? explained the situation to the guy, showed him the receipt on the phone. He scanned it in, got me the right thing, charged me another $30 because the iPad Air has a more expensive cover that, you know, covers the whole thing, of whatever, course. Blah, blah, blah. We were in and out of there in like 10 minutes. And my wife, who's normally very critical of Apple, by the way, commented to me. She goes, oh, that went surprisingly well. I said, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I, a middle-aged white man, just walked into an Apple store and made an expensive purchase, and you're complimenting them because it went well? Yeah, of course it went well. I handed them money. I bought something and then wanted to replace it with something even more expensive. Yeah, that's what Apple's good at, separating me from my money. You know, I'm like, and she's like, oh, actually, that's a good point, you know. But yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, I look, this luxury experience is available to all of you if you're willing to spend the money.
Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking like there's two companies in my mind that have just like really nailed like that experience that you're talking about. So you've got Apple and Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. So I was curious where you go. I was thinking Disney, but okay.
Yeah. Disney maybe, but yeah, but like from a Disney is more of like a theme park or whatever, but like from a day-to-day experience, like you can go to, everybody knows you can go to Chick-fil-A, even if the line is 17 miles long, it's going to move really fast and really efficient because they figured out that funnel is really easy to move if you have 17 people working the car line. And so Apple's very the same way. You go in there and there's 17,000 Apple employees in a 64-inch box.
Yep. There was one employee for every person in that store.
Yeah.
The Chick-fil-A thing is interesting because I have not set foot in a Chick-fil-A to my memory since 1987.
And that was very specific. I didn't even know they were around.
So why do I know that? So in 1987, I moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And back then, especially, like today, everything's very homogenous, right? Mm-hmm. All the stores that we would have in Boston are in Texas. They're all in California. They're all in Washington State. They're everywhere. Like it's all the same. There are no really, I mean, there are some obviously, but the big regional chains are gone. So when at that time we had stores and chains and things that were specific to New England area, maybe. And out west there were things I had never heard of, like Bon Ton, which is now gone, or I can't remember, Albertsons, you know, supermarkets or whatever. Chick-fil-A was something I had never heard of, right? I had never seen one. And and people who enjoy my mispronunciation of Pinterest as P-interest will love the fact that 1987 Paul looked at the sign and said, what is Chick-fil-A? And the girl I was with laughed and said, it's Chick-fil-A, you friggin' idiot. And I was like, oh, okay. So we ate there. I don't remember it at all. But I literally have not been there since. The only thing I know about it now is they're around here. So when I go to the gym every other day, I go to Dunkin' Donuts on the way home. And across from Dunkin' Donuts is a Chick-fil-A. And behind the Chick-fil-A, there is a ATM machine. And sometimes I have to go to there to get cash. And I'll tell you, dude, this is anywhere between 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning. There was a line around the corner, down the street. I marvel at it every time I see it. And I just literally got money 2 days ago, whatever, Wednesday, I guess. I'm like, I've never been in there. I don't know if it's good. Maybe it is.
It's pretty, I mean, like if you like chicken, like it's pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty good chicken. I mean, it's usually where, like, when we took road trip to Hilton Head, we usually stop at Chick-fil-A because it's, I mean, it's not like, it's not health food by any stretch of the
match. It's like the step up kind of fast food. Like
it's better than like garbage food. So you've got garbage food, and this is like it's okay food. Also, one of the things we do, so my daughter has a spelling test every Friday. When I pick her up from school, if she gets 100%, we go grab a milkshake and we hit Chick-fil-A because we know that
if she's successful in life, she's going to be really fat.
Yep. We go through there because it's a 5-minute thing, even if there's 7,000 people, and it's they're always happy. They're always happy, Paul. Just like you'll always be happy if you checked out Behind the Deck with Gavin Scott. This week we are highlighting the Tom Daniel, the neuroscientist and bioengineering phenomenon that this individual is. You should go check it out. You can find it on all major platforms, and it's headed up by Kevin Scott, who is the chief technology officer over at Microsoft. You may have heard that name, and if you haven't, that's okay. You will definitely get familiar with everything he is doing, but go check that out, Behind the Tech. You can find it on all major podcast platforms. You can even browse it or listen to it on the web.
Can you listen to it on the Zoom?
I bet you could. Because you can, there's RSS feeds and you can just subscribe to it that way. And
Don't recommend that necessarily.
Zoom is like one of those things if you own one, you should put it on your shelf, like next to your Nintendo, your NES or something like that. Like your band, your Windows phone, your Invoke.
Your Lumia 1020, like I have over here.
Yep.
Where is it? It's over there somewhere. I'm not really good at the spatial
stuff. What's the one that's up? It looks like a 900.
So, yeah. No, what that is that's the Samsung pre-production model they sent to developers the summer before it shipped. That's like literally the first ever Windows phone.
And then what's the one that's above that next to the purple cube?
Oh, that is the one. I'm sorry. The one in the middle is the black slab is the 1020. The one on the top is the Samsung.
Oh, okay.
I guess the one you're referring to that's a sideways box is probably the Pixel 4a 5G.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's just the box.
Oh.
Well, it's sideways. It's sideways.
Disappointing.
Sorry.
Disappointing. I don't know. Well, it is Friday. You got anything else going on this weekend?
No, I'm probably going to publish my OnePlus 9 series review today.
Ooh. What's the short version?
So the camera improvements have catapulted OnePlus into the top tier, right? And I want to be clear what that means. It doesn't mean it's better in all cases than an iPhone camera experience or Samsung, or certainly not Huawei or Google, right? I mean, it's probably technically not better than any of them, but it is in the top five now, right? So before, this thing should never have been included in any discussion about cameras. The thing that makes, there's two sides to this. So this was the one thing they were missing. Literally the only thing they weren't doing proper. Well, okay, they've done some quirky things, but the only major issue they've had over the years has been the camera. So they have literally solved this. It's right there. Some inconsistencies, there's some weirdness, like the 3x optical zoom thing on the telephoto is garbage, but they're there. Right. So I think these phones line up really nicely against the iPhone 12 and the 12 Pro. On the other hand, it's OnePlus, and no one has heard of OnePlus. And this is the same conversation we just had. Like, you and I and people listening, we all know who OnePlus is. We get it. Normal people don't. And unfortunately, as the prices have crept up because component costs are expensive, IP ratings are expensive, whatever it is, they are still less expensive than Samsung and Apple, but not hundreds and hundreds less expensive. And the problem is, I think when you go to a store, Verizon, T-Mobile, whatever it is, wherever you buy these things, or if you're looking online even, I think for most people, it's like, what is this company? Yeah. And I think a lot of people just like, why? No, I'll stick with the brands I know. I think that's the kind of a perception problem they're going to face. The other little issue, maybe it's not a little issue, but I'll also raise the issue that their software is awesome. Like, it's the best version of Android you can get by far, including Google's. Which is crazy, right? But true. Except for one thing. They only support OS updates for 2 years. And they only support security updates for 3 years. And of all those phone makers I just mentioned, that is the worst. That's not good. And I would say in 2021, given the way the world has gone, given the way our buying habits have shifted, people holding on to phones longer, that's It's not great. So, you know, back in the day, if you were going to spend $500 mm-hmm. on a phone that was as good as a $1,000 iPhone and you only got 3 years of updates, you could say, yep, yeah. no problem. But when that phone is like $900,
yeah. know,
it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, my daily phone now is 2.5 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, it probably will be upgraded this year.
You want a 10S?
10S.
Yeah.
It'll primarily be upgraded this year, not so much because it's performance issue. It's the battery is really starting to fall off a cliff. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And I could probably pay $100-$150 yep. bucks, get a new battery if I wanted, but three-year-old phone, I feel like I've gotten my
You'll use. Have significant improvements in the camera. There's a third right. lens now, obviously. Those will be better even still, I bet, this year. And then mm-hmm. they're going to shrink the notch finally. I mean, that alone, you know, they have high refresh displays or will. That'll probably be a good upgrade.
Yep. Hopefully a fingerprint reader. Although at that point, it'll be 3 years since I really had one. So I guess I'm not going to miss it if they don't, but I still want it. But
right.
So. Anyways, here we are. So that's it for this week, folks. Make sure to check out Behind the Tech with Kevin Scott. And provided the comet doesn't hit the Earth, we will be back on Monday. Jeez.
The pandemic's over. What's that thing in the sky?